February the 1st, 2015, Sunday p.m. In looking at Isaiah, the 29th chapter, Isaiah is giving the word of God to those that dwelled in Jerusalem concerning the Jewish nation. And at that time, Jerusalem was the center of worship for Jehovah's chosen people. And Jerusalem was where the leaders and the teachers of Jehovah's word resided. And the instructions that were for the rest of the people came from Jerusalem and were extended out. And that was given, the instruction was given by those leaders in how they were to worship God, and their interpretation of it. It was the city where King David once reigned, as mentioned in verse 1. During this time of David's reigning, it was a great nation among all other nations, and it was feared by many. David followed the commands of Jehovah, and the instructions were in tune with Jehovah's words. But now, only the outward show of evidence was observed by Jehovah when you read the 29th chapter. They continued year to year, going through the ritual of their feast on the appointed times. And it just became a ritual, and that's all it was. These feasts to Jehovah no longer mattered to Jehovah. The worship to Jehovah was being done in vain and was no longer accepted as pleasing by Jehovah. Jehovah was going to rise against Jerusalem by the use of other nations, as we read in this chapter, who would lay siege to the city. And we do know that that happened on several occasions. In the captivity, before the captivity, the siege was laid there by the Babylonian Empire. And then also in the Roman Empire, siege was put forth to Jerusalem. Jehovah's chosen people, he explains, would no longer enjoy their status that they once had, verses 4 through 5, but they would become destitute and humbled. They would be brought low. And this was going to be quite a shock to Jehovah's people because they always felt that they were in a favored position with Jehovah in relation to the rest of the nations. This onslaught from the other nations, though, who came against them, would not lead to total destruction. That was a promise from Jehovah. It wouldn't lead to total destruction. There was going to come a time that there was going to be a Savior that would come. But due to the disobedience, the leaders had become like the blind and drunk. He says, be delayed in verse 9 and wait. Blind yourselves and be blind. They became drunk, but not with wine. They staggered, but not with strong drink. For the Lord has poured over you a sleep, a deep sleep, a spirit, a deep sleep. He has shut your eyes, the prophets, and he has covered your heads, the seers. They couldn't see or perceive and understand no longer. They staggered, like becoming unstable, no direction, just wandering on whatever course they took, and there was no certain path. The prophets and seers no longer gave revelations from Jehovah, because they were in disobedience. Then Isaiah speaks the words of Jehovah after he explains this. Starting in verse 12, then the book will be given to the one who is illiterate, saying, please read this, and he will say, I cannot read. Then the Lord said, and the Lord gives his charge against the people, because this people draw near me with their words and honor me with their lip service, but they remove their hearts far from me. And the reverence for me consists of tradition learned by rote. Therefore, behold, I will once again deal marvelously with this people, wondrously marvelous. And the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the discernment of their discerning men shall be concealed. He speaks here, Jehovah does, as far as what they had done, what their leaders had done. They draw near with their words, they honor with lip service, but he says their heart was far from him. And reverence consists of tradition learned by rote. Reverence and worship to Jehovah is being done by the commandments prescribed by men, being taught in place of Jehovah's commandments, which were already prescribed by Jehovah. These leaders felt that they were above Jehovah and that they were at liberty to do as they felt in their human wisdom or in their understanding. He says in verse 15, wisdom in verse 14, though, the wisdom and the discernment is going to be gone. Woe to those, in verse 15, who deeply hide their plans from the Lord, and in whose deeds are done in a dark place, and they say, who sees us, or who knows us? You turn things around. Shall the potter be considered as equal with the clay? That what is made should say to its maker, He that doth not make me, or what is formed say to him, Is it no understanding? They thought they were above God in their looking at the laws that they interpreted. When you look at Titus, the first chapter, Isaiah was writing that it just become more prevalent through time. It become worse in teaching the traditions and holding to them than trying to convert others to those. In Titus, the first chapter, verse 13, this testimony is true. For this cause, reprove them severely that they may be sound in the faith, not paying attention to Jewish myths and commandments of men who turn away from the truth. To be sound in the faith, what kept them from being sound in the faith? Jewish myths and the commandments of men. And they were to reprove them. When you taught Jewish myths and you taught the commandments of men, he said you were turning them away from the truth. And that was the result. When you look at Colossians, the second chapter, starting at verse 20, Paul said, if you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourselves to decrees such as this? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, which all refer to things destined to perish with using, in accordance with the commandments and teachings of men. And that's what it had amounted to. This is the backdrop of what Jesus was talking about when you look at Matthew, the 15th chapter. In Matthew, the 15th chapter, Jesus is discussing to them concerning the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, and all of them in what they were doing and what they were teaching. And they came to him in the first chapter, verse 15, and they said, why do your disciples transgress the doctrines or the traditions of the elders? These are things that we had set up that they had to be done. They do not wash their hands when they eat bread. Jesus went about to show them, why do you yourselves transgress in greater things? For God said, honor your father and mother, and you speak evil of your father and mother. Let him be put to death. But you say, whosoever shall say to his father and mother, anything of mine you might have been helped by has been given to God. He is not to honor his father or his mother. Thus you invalidate the word of God for the sake of your traditions. And then Jesus quotes Isaiah, the 29th chapter. He said, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you. Here's a prophecy that Isaiah had spoken in the 29th chapter that we just looked at concerning these people in the future time. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching as doctrine the precepts of men. Man has always had the ability to corrupt Jehovah's word, and he has always done so. We need to take note and be careful, because this is very prevalent in the world today as far as people honoring Jehovah with their lips, but their heart is far from him because of the traditions, the rituals, the rote things that they go through. They feel that it is according to Scripture. Be sure and understand the service that you do and the worship that you do to God is not tradition, that is not ritual, that is not a rote habit. But be sure you can go to the Word of God and show and prove, this is why I do what I do. If we can't, then we've got to take another look at ourselves and say, why can't I? Always be open-minded. Study the things that are there. Why do I do what I do? Sometimes we get steeped in tradition. And we can get that way that we think, well, that's gospel determined. People say, you have to meet on Wednesday night. And if someone would suggest a Thursday evening, no. But that's tradition. The day to meet is upon the first day of the week. If we choose to meet during the week, it could be a Tuesday, it could be a Wednesday, it could be a Thursday. We also need to realize the different dispensations in time and the different commandments that were to those times and services that the people had then. Things that were once done in the Old Testament as the Jews were doing, bringing over and making them part of the service in the New Testament, cannot be done today. But yet there are those that will bring them over and hold to them. So we must be careful, because we don't want to be like Isaiah, and what Jesus said is that this fits you. We need to study and be able to back up what we do and why we do it. God sent His Son. He sent His Messiah. And that person was Jesus. Jesus came. Jesus lived a life, died upon the cross. That His death was a sacrifice. He was a salvation for us. We have an obligation to look at His life, to see what He has done, and to accept it. There's no other name. Acts 4:12 says, there's no one else coming. There's no other name. Jesus was the person. Jesus was the Messiah. No other name where you're going to be able to have salvation except through Jesus. You have that opportunity this evening to accept Jesus, that He did come, that He was the Messiah, and that He died for your sins. And in doing that, serving Him as King and Lord of your life by repentance and being buried in the water of baptism. That old man, that old self, is dead and buried, and you're raised to walk in newness of life, a new creature, a new spiritual creature, dedicated to serving God for an eternity. We have to remain faithful. If we once did that and we haven't been faithful, or we wavered, God has set about a way that we can ask for forgiveness of that. Jesus' blood covers that also. When we repent of that and pray to God for forgiveness. We have that opportunity this evening. It's being extended, that if we can help in any way, let it be known while we stand, while we sing.